What? I shout. I look up. It's Anna. She's dressed in my t-shirt, and she's all legs and big fearful eyes. She's bearding the lion in his den. Oh, Anna. You should be in satin or silk, Anastasia. But even in my t-shirt, you look beautiful. I missed you. Come to bed. Her voice is sexy and cajoling. How can I sleep with all this shit going on? I stand and walk around my desk to gaze down at her. What if Leela wants to hurt her? What if she succeeds? How could I live with that? Do you know what you mean to me? If something happened to you because of me, I'm overwhelmed by a familiar, uncomfortable feeling that expands in my chest, becoming a lump in my throat that I have to swallow.
Nothing's going to happen to me,
she says in a soothing tone. She strokes my cheek, her fingers scratching my stubble.
Your beard grows quickly.
There's wonder in her voice. I love her tender touch on my cheek. It's soothing and sensual. It tames the darkness. She caresses my bottom lip with her thumb, her eyes following her fingers. Her pupils are large, and the small V has appeared between her brows as she concentrates. She traces a line from my bottom lip, down my chin, down my throat, to the base of my neck, where my shirt is open. What is she doing? She runs her finger along what I can only assume is the lipstick line. I close my eyes, waiting for the darkness to constrict my chest. Her finger touches my shirt.
I'm not going to touch you. I just want to undo your shirt, she says.
Opening my eyes, I keep my panic in check and focus on her face. I don't stop her. The material of my shirt lifts, and she unfastens a second button. Keeping the fabric off my skin, her fingers move to the next button down, and she undoes that one, then the next. I don't move. I daren't. My breathing is shallow as I suppress my fear. My whole body is tense and waiting. Don't touch me. Please, Anna. She opens the next button down and smiles up at me.
Back on home territory,
she says. And her fingers trail along the line she made much, much earlier in the day, and I tense my diaphragm as her fingers skim across my skin. She undoes the final button and opens my shirt fully, and I let out the breath I'm holding. Next, she grabs my hand and, grasping my shirt cuff, removes my left cufflink, followed by the right.
Can I take your shirt off?
She asks. I nod, totally disarmed, and she lifts my shirt up off my shoulders and pulls it from my body. She's done. She looks pleased with herself, and I'm standing half naked in front of her. Slowly I relax. That wasn't so bad. What about my pants, Miss Steele? I manage a lascivious smirk.
In the bedroom. I want you in your bed.
Do you now? Miss Steele, you are insatiable.
I can't think why,
she says, taking my hand. I let her lead me across the living room, through the corridor, and into my bedroom. It's cold. My nipples pucker against the chill in the room. You open the balcony door? I ask.
No,
Anna replies, looking at the open door with a bewildered expression. Then she turns to me, her face ashen. She's alarmed. What? I ask, as every hair on my body stands on end, not from cold, but from fear.
When I woke,
she whispers,
there was someone in here. I thought it was my imagination.
What? I scan the room quickly, then dash to the balcony and look outside. No one there, but I distinctly remember locking this door during the search, and I know Anna's never been on the balcony. I lock it again. Are you sure? I ask her. Who?
A woman, I think. It was dark. I'd only just woken up.
Fuck. Get dressed now, I order. Why the hell didn't she tell me when she came into my office? I have to get her out of here.
My clothes are upstairs,
she whimpers. From my chest of drawers, I pull out some sweatpants. Put these on. I toss them at her, pull out a t-shirt, and dress quickly. I pick up the phone at my bedside. Mr. Gray? Taylor answers. She's still fucking here, I bark. Shit, says Taylor, and he hangs up. Moments later, he barrels into the bedroom with Ryan. Anna says she saw someone in the room, a woman. She came to see me in my study and neglected to tell me this. I give her a pointed look. Then when we got back here, the balcony door was open. I remember closing and locking it myself during the search. It's Leela, I know it is. How long ago? Taylor asks Anna.
About 10 minutes, she answers.
She knows the apartment like the back of her hand. I'm taking Anastasia away now. She's hiding here somewhere. Find her. When is Gail back?
Tomorrow evening, sir. She's not to return until this place is secure. Understand?
Yes, sir. Will you be going to Bellevue?
I'm not taking this problem to my parents. Book me somewhere.
Yes, I'll call you.
Aren't we all overreacting slightly?
Anna asks. She may have a gun, I growl.
Christian, she was standing at the end of the bed. She could have shot me then if that's what she wanted to do.
I take a deep breath because now isn't the time to lose it. I'm not prepared to take the risk. Taylor, Anastasia needs shoes. Taylor leaves, but Ryan stays to watch over Anna. I hurry into my closet, strip out of my pants, and pull on some jeans and my jacket. From my dress pants pocket, I grab the condoms I'd slipped in there earlier and stuff them into my jeans pocket. I pack some clothes, and as an afterthought, grab my denim jacket. Anna is where I left her, looking lost and anxious. My sweatpants are far too big on her, but there's no time for her to change. I place the denim jacket over her shoulders and grab her hand. Come. I lead her into the living room to wait for Taylor.
I can't believe she could hide somewhere in here, Anna says.
It's a big place. You haven't seen it all yet.
Why don't you just call her? Tell her you want to talk to her.
Anastasia, she's unstable and she may be armed. I stress, irritated.
So we just run?
For now, yes.
Supposing she tries to shoot Taylor?
Jesus, I hope she doesn't. Taylor knows and understands guns. He'll be quicker with a gun than she is. I hope.
Ray was in the army. He taught me to shoot.
You with a gun? I scoff. I'm shocked. I loathe guns.
Yes.
She sounds offended.
I can shoot Mr. Gray, so you'd better beware. It's not just crazy ex-subs you need to worry about.
I'll bear that in mind, Miss Steele. Taylor comes down the stairs and we join him in the foyer. He gives Anna a carry-on suitcase and her chucks. She hugs him, taking him and me by surprise.
Be careful, she says.
Yes, Miss Steele. Taylor replies, embarrassed yet pleased by her concern and her spontaneous affection. I give him a look and he adjusts his tie. Let me know where I'm going. Taylor takes out his wallet and passes me his credit card. You might want to use this when you get there. Whoa, he's really taking this seriously. Good thinking. Ryan joins us.
Sawyer and Reynolds found nothing, he tells Taylor.
Accompany Mr. Gray and Miss Steele to the garage, Taylor says. The three of us enter the elevator where Anna has a chance to pull on her chucks. She looks a little comical in my jacket and sweatpants. But as cute as she looks, I can't find the funny in our situation. The fact is, I've placed her in harm's way. Anna blanches when she sees her car in the garage. It's a mess. The windshield is shattered, and the bodywork is covered in dents and cheap white paint. My blood boils at the sight, but for Anna's sake, I control my rage. I usher her quickly into the R8. She's staring straight ahead when I climb into the car beside her, and I know it's because she can't bear to look at her car. A replacement will arrive on Monday, I assure her, hoping that might make her feel better. I start the engine and put on my seatbelt.
How could she have known it was my car?
I sigh. This is not going to go down well. She had an Audi A3. I buy one for all my submissives. It's one of the safest cars in its class.
So, not so much a graduation present then, she says quietly.
Anastasia. Despite what I hoped,
You have never been my submissive, so technically it is a graduation present. I back out of the parking space and head to the garage exit where we pause, waiting for the barrier to lift.
Are you still hoping? She asks.
What? The in-car phone rings. Gray, I answer. Fairmont Olympic, in my name, Taylor informs me. Thank you, Taylor. And Taylor, be careful. Yes, sir, he says, and hangs up. It's eerily quiet in downtown Seattle. That's one of the advantages of driving at nearly 3 a.m. I take a detour on I-5 just in case Leela is following us. Every few minutes I check the rearview mirror, anxiety gnawing at my gut. Everything is out of control. Leela might be dangerous. Yet she had the opportunity to harm Anna and didn't. She was a gentle soul when I knew her. Artistic, bright, mischievous. And when she ended our relationship as a means of self-preservation, I admired her for that. She was never destructive, not even to herself, until she turned up at Escala and cut herself in front of Mrs. Jones, and tonight, when she vandalized Anna's car. She's not herself. And I don't trust her not to hurt Anna. How could I live with myself if that happened? Anna is swimming in my clothes, looking small and miserable, staring out of the car window. She asked me a question, and I was interrupted. She wanted to know if I'm still hoping for a submissive. How can she ask that? Reassure her, Gray. No, it's not what I hope for, not anymore. I thought that was obvious. She turns to look at me, huddling down in my jacket so that she looks even smaller.
I worry that, you know, that I'm not enough.
Why is she bringing this up now? You're more than enough. For the love of God, Anastasia, what do I have to do? She fiddles with a button on my denim jacket.
Why did you think I'd leave when I told you Dr. Flynn had told me all there was to know about you?
Is this what she's brooding about? Keep it vague, Gray. You cannot begin to understand the depths of my depravity, Anastasia. And it's not something I want to share with you.
And you really think I'd leave if I knew? Do you think so little of me?
I know you'll leave, I answer, and the thought is untenable.
Christian, I think that's very unlikely. I can't imagine being without you.
You left me once. I don't want to go there again. She pales and begins fiddling with the drawstring on my sweatpants. Yeah, you hurt me. And I hurt you.
Elena said she saw you last Saturday, she whispers.
No, that's bullshit. She didn't. Why the hell would Elena lie?
You didn't go to see her when I left?
No, I just told you I didn't, and I don't like to be doubted. And I realize I'm taking my anger out on her. In a gentler tone, I add, I didn't go anywhere last weekend. I sat and made the glider you gave me. Took me forever. Anna looks down at her fingers. She's still fiddling with the drawstring. Contrary to what Elena thinks, I continue, I don't rush to her with all my problems, Anastasia. I don't rush to anybody. You may have noticed I'm not much of a talker.
Carrick told me you didn't talk for 2 years.
Did he now? Why can't my family keep quiet?
I kind of pumped him for information,
she confesses. So what else did Daddy say?
He said your mom was the doctor who examined you when you were brought into the hospital after you were discovered in your apartment. He said learning the piano helped. And Mia.
A vision of Mia as a baby, a shock of black hair and a gurgling smile, comes to mind. She was someone I could take care of, someone I could protect. She was about 6 months old when she arrived. I was thrilled, Elliot less so. He'd already had to contend with my arrival. She was perfect. Less so now, of course. Anna giggles, and it's so unexpected, I immediately feel more at ease. You find that amusing, Miss Steele?
She seemed determined to keep us apart.
Yes, she's quite accomplished. and annoying. She is Mia, my baby sister. I squeeze Anna's knee. But we got there in the end. I offer her a brief smile, then check the rearview mirror. I don't think we've been followed. I take the next off-ramp and head back into downtown Seattle.
Can I ask you something about Elena?
Anna asks when we're stopped at a red light. If you must. But I really wish she wouldn't.
You told me ages ago that she loved you in a way you found acceptable. What did that mean?
Isn't it obvious?
Not to me.
I was out of control. I couldn't bear to be touched. I can't bear it now. For a 14, 15-year-old adolescent boy with hormones raging, it was a difficult time. She showed me a way to let off steam.
Mia said you were a brawler.
Christ, what is it with my loquacious family? We're stopped at the next red. I glare at her. Actually, it's you. You inveigle information out of people.
Mia volunteered that information. In fact, she was very forthcoming. She was worried you'd start a brawl in the tent if you didn't win me at the auction, she says.
Oh, baby, there was no danger of that. There was no way I would let anyone else dance with you.
You let Dr. Flynn?
He's always the exception to the rule. I turn into the driveway of the Fairmont Olympic Hotel. A valet scrambles out to meet us, and I pull up toward him. Come, I say to Anna, and get out of the car to retrieve our luggage. I toss the keys to the enthusiastic young man. Name of Taylor, I inform him. The lobby is quiet, save for some random woman and her dog. At this time, odd. The receptionist checks us in.
Do you need a hand with your bags, Mr. Taylor?
She asks. No, Mrs. Taylor and I can manage.
You're in the Cascade Suite, Mr. Taylor, 11th floor. Our bellboy will help with your bags.
We're fine. Where are the elevators? She directs us, and as we wait, I ask Anna how she's holding up. She looks worn out.
It's been an interesting evening, she says, with her usual gift for understatement.
Taylor has booked us into the largest suite in the hotel. I'm surprised to discover it has two bedrooms. I wonder if Taylor is expecting us to sleep apart, as I do with my submissives. Maybe I should tell him this doesn't apply to Anna. Well, Mrs. Taylor, I don't know about you, but I'd really like a drink, I say, as Anna follows me into the master bedroom where I set our overnight bags on the ottoman. Back in the main living room, there's a fire burning in the hearth. Anna warms her hands while I fix a drink at the bar. She looks gamine, adorable, and her dark hair shines coppery and bright in the firelight. Armagnac?
Please, she says.
By the fire, I hand her a brandy glass. It's been quite a day, huh? I gauge her reaction. I'm amazed, given all the drama of the evening, that she hasn't broken down and wept by now.
I'm okay, she says. How about you?
I'm wired, anxious, angry. I know of one thing that will give me relief. You, Miss Steele. My panacea. Well, right now, I'd like to drink this, and then, if you're not too tired, take you to bed and lose myself in you. I'm really chancing my luck. She must be exhausted.
I think that can be arranged, Mr. Taylor,
she says, and rewards me with a shy smile. Oh, Anna, you're my heroine. I slip out of my shoes and socks. Mrs. Taylor, stop biting your lip. I murmur. She takes a sip of her Armagnac and closes her eyes. She hums her appreciation for her drink, the sound soft and mellow and oh so sexy. I feel it in my groin. She really is something else. You never cease to amaze me, Anastasia. After a day like today, or yesterday, rather, you're not whining or running off into the hills screaming. I am in awe of you. You're very strong.
You're a very good reason to stay,
she whispers. That strange feeling swells in my chest, scarier than the darkness, bigger, more potent, It has the power to wound.
I told you, Christian, I'm not going anywhere, no matter what you've done. You know how I feel about you.
Oh, baby, you'd run if you knew the truth.
Where are you going to hang Jose's portraits of me?
She asks, throwing me for a loop. That depends, I respond, bemused that she can change tack so quickly.
On what?
Circumstances. It'll depend on whether she stays. I don't think I could bear to look at them when she's no longer mine. If she's no longer mine. His show's not over yet, so I don't have to decide straight away. I still don't know when the gallery will deliver them, in spite of my request. She narrows her eyes, studying me, as if I'm hiding something. Yeah, my fear, that's what I'm hiding. You can look as sternly as you like, Mrs. Taylor. I'm saying nothing. I tease.
I may torture the truth from you.
Really, Anastasia, I don't think you should make promises you can't fulfill. She narrows her eyes once more, but this time she's amused. She places her glass on the mantelpiece, then takes mine and sets it beside hers.
We'll just have to see about that,
she says with cool determination in her voice. Grasping my hand, she guides me into the bedroom. Anna is taking the lead. This hasn't happened since that time in my study when she jumped me. Go with it, Gray. At the foot of the bed, she stops. Now that you have me in here, Anastasia, what are you going to do with me? She looks up at me, eyes shining, full of love, and I swallow, awed at the sight of her.
I'm going to start by undressing you. I want to finish what I started earlier.
All the breath leaves my body. She grasps the lapels of my jacket and gently eases it off my shoulders. She turns and places it on the ottoman, and I catch a trace of her fragrance. Anna.
Now your t-shirt, she says.
I feel bolder. I know she won't touch me. Her roadmap idea was a good one, and I still have the smudged remains of the lipstick on my chest and back. I raise my arms and take a step back as she tugs my t-shirt over my head. Her lips part as she surveys my torso, and I itch to touch her, but I'm loving her slow, sweet seduction. We're doing it her way. Now what? I murmur.
I want to kiss you here.
She runs a fingernail across my belly from hip bone to hip bone. Fuck. I tense everywhere as all the blood in my body heads south. I'm not stopping you, I whisper. Grabbing my hand, she instructs me to lie down. With my pants on? Okay. I remove the covers on the bed and sit down, my eyes on Anna, waiting to see what she'll do next. She shrugs out of my denim jacket and lets it fall to the floor. My sweatpants follow, and it takes all my self-control not to grab her and toss her onto the bed. Squaring her shoulders, her gaze fixed on mine, she grips the hem of my t-shirt and tugs it over her head, wiggling to get it free. Naked before me, she's beautiful.
You are Aphrodite, Anastasia.
She cradles my face in her hands and stoops to kiss me, and I can resist her no more. When her lips touch mine, I reach for her hips and pull her onto the bed so that she's beneath me. As we kiss, I push her legs apart so I'm resting at the junction of her thighs, my favorite place. She kisses me back with a ferocity that fires my blood, her mouth voracious, her tongue wrestling with mine. She tastes of Armagnac and Anna. My hands are on her. With one, I cup her head and I trail the other up her body, kneading and squeezing as I go. Palming her breast, I tweak her nipple and marvel as it hardens between my fingers. I need this. I crave this contact. She groans and tilts her pelvis, compressing my hardening denim-clad cock. Fuck. I suck in my breath and stop kissing her. What are you doing? She's panting, gazing up at me with a scorching, imploring expression. She wants more. I flex my hips, pushing my erection against her while watching her reaction. She closes her eyes and moans with carnal appreciation and tugs at my hair. I do it again, and this time she slides against me. Whoa. The feeling's exquisite. Her teeth scrape my chin and she claims my lips and my tongue in a passionate wet kiss as she and I grind against each other, moving in perfect opposition, creating a sweet, sweet friction that is delicious torture. The heat builds and burns between us, concentrated at our point of connection. Her fingers grasp my arms as her breathing accelerates. Panting, she moves her hand to my lower back and into the waistband of my jeans, where she cups my ass and urges me on. I'm going to come. No. You're going to unman me, Anna. I kneel up and tug down my pants, freeing my erection, and grab a condom from my pocket. I hand it to Anna, who lies breathless on the bed. You want me, baby, and I sure as hell want you. You know what to do. With greedy fingers, she rips open the foil packet and unfurls the condom over my straining dick. She's so keen. I grin at her when she lies back down. Insatiable, Anna. I run my nose along hers and slowly, slowly sink into her, claiming her. She's mine. She grasps my arms and tilts her chin up, her mouth open in a wide O of pleasure. Gently, I slide into her again, my arms and hands on either side of her face. You make me forget everything. You are the best therapy. I ease out of her again and ease back inside her. Please, Christian, faster. She pushes her pelvis up to meet me. Oh no, baby. I need this slow. Please, let's do this slowly. I kiss her and tug her bottom lip. She twines her fingers in my hair and holds me and lets me continue at my slow, tender pace. On and on and on. She begins to build, her legs stiffening, and she throws her head back as she comes, taking me with her. Oh, Anna. I call, and her name is a prayer on my lips. That unfamiliar feeling is back, swelling in my chest, fighting to get out. And I know what it is. I've known forever. I want to tell her I love her. But I can't. The words burn to ashes in my throat. I swallow and rest my head on her belly, my arms coiled around her. Her fingers tangle in my hair. I will never get enough of you. Don't leave me. I kiss her belly.
I'm not going anywhere, Christian. And I seem to remember that I wanted to kiss your belly, she says.
And she sounds a little grumpy. Nothing's stopping you now, baby.
I don't think I can move. I'm so tired.
I stretch out beside her and pull the comforter over us. She looks radiant but exhausted. Let her sleep, Gray. Sleep now, sweet Anna. I kiss her hair and hold her. I never want to let her go. I wake to brilliant sunshine filtering through the shears that shroud the windows, and Anna soundly asleep beside me. In spite of our late night, I feel refreshed. I sleep well when I'm with her. I climb out of bed, grab my jeans and my t-shirt, and drag them on. If I stay in bed, I know I'll wake her. She's too tempting to leave alone, and I know she needs sleep. In the main room, I sit down at the escritoire and take my laptop out of the bag. My first job is to email Dr. Green. I ask her if she can come to the hotel to attend to Anna. She responds that the only time she can do is 10:15. Great. I confirm the time and then call Mac, who's the first mate on my yacht. Mr. Gray. Mac, I'd like to take the Grace out this afternoon. You'll have fine weather. Yes, I'd like to head out to Bainbridge Island. I'll get her ready, sir. Great. We'll see you at around lunchtime.
We?
Yes, I'm bringing my girlfriend, Anastasia Steele. There's a slight hesitation in Mac's voice before he says,
Look forward to it.
Me too. I hang up, excited that I can show the Grace to Anna. I think she'll love sailing. She loved the soaring and the flight in Charlie Tango. I call Taylor for an update, but his phone goes to voicemail. I hope he's getting some well-deserved sleep or having Anna's wrecked Audi removed from the garage as he promised. It reminds me that I need to replace her car. I wonder if Taylor has spoken to the Audi dealership. It's a Sunday, so maybe not. My phone buzzes. It's a text from my mother.
Darling, it was so lovely to see you and Anastasia last night. As ever, thank you and Anna for your generosity. Mom, kiss.
I'm still smarting over her gold digger comments. It's obvious she doesn't know Anna well. But then she's only met Anna 3 times. It was Elliot who was always bringing girls around, not me. Grace couldn't keep up.
Elliot, darling, we get attached to them and then their history. It's heartbreaking.
Don't get attached.
He shrugs, chewing with his mouth open.
I don't. He mutters so only I can hear him.
One day someone will break your heart, Elliot.
Grace says as she hands Mia a plate of mac and cheese.
Whatever, Mom. At least I bring girls home.
He eyes me with disdain.
Lots of my friends want to marry Christian. Ask them.
Mia pipes up in my defense.
Ugh, what an unpleasant thought. Her poisonous little 8th grade friends.
Don't you have exams to study for, douchebag?
I give Elliot the finger.
Study. Not me, Dickless. I'm out tonight.
He brags.
Boys, enough. This is your first night home from college. You haven't seen each other in ages. Stop arguing. Eat up.
I take a bite of mac and cheese. Tonight I get to see Mrs. Lincoln. It's 9:40, so I order breakfast for Anna and me, knowing it will take at least 20 minutes. I turn back to my emails and decide to ignore my mother's text for now. Room service arrives just after 10. I ask the young man to keep everything in the cart's warming drawers, and after he's set the table, I dismiss him. Time to wake Anna. She's still fast asleep. Her hair is a mess of mahogany on the pillow, her skin luminous in the light, and her face soft and sweet in repose. I lie down beside her and watch her, drinking in every detail. She blinks and opens her eyes. Hi.
Hi.
She tugs the comforter up to her chin as her cheeks turn rosy.
How long have you been watching me?
I could watch you sleep for hours, Anastasia, but I've only been here about 5 minutes. I kiss her temple. Dr. Green will be here shortly.
Oh.
Did you sleep well? I ask. Certainly seemed like it to me with all that snoring.
I do not snore.
I put her out of her misery, grinning.
No, you don't. Did you shower?
She asks. No, waiting for you.
Oh, okay. What time is it?
10:15. I didn't have the heart to wake you earlier.
You told me you didn't have a heart at all.
That at least is true. But I ignore her comment. Breakfast is here. Pancakes and bacon for you. Come, get up. I'm getting lonely out here. I swat her behind, clamber off the bed, and leave her to get up. In the dining room, I remove the dishes from the cart and lay out the plates. I sit down, and within moments, my toast and scrambled eggs are history. I pour myself some coffee, wondering whether to hurry Anna along, but decide against it and open the Seattle Times. She shuffles into the dining room wearing an oversized robe and sits down beside me. Eat up. You're going to need your strength today, I say.
And why is that? You going to lock me in the bedroom?
She teases.
Appealing as that idea is, I thought we'd go out today, get some fresh air.
I'm excited about the Grace.
Is it safe?
She quips. Where we're going, it is, I mutter, unamused by her comment. And it's not a joking matter, I add. I want to keep you safe, baby. Her mouth sets in that stubborn way she has, and she stares down at her breakfast.
Eat, Anna.
As if she can read my mind, she grabs her fork and starts picking at her breakfast, allowing me to relax a little. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. I glance at my watch. That'll be the good doctor, I say, and stroll to the door to answer it. Good morning, Dr. Green. Come in. Thank you for coming at such short notice. Again, Mr. Gray, thank you for making it worth my while. Where's the patient?
Dr. Green is all business. She's having her breakfast and will be ready in a minute. Do you want to wait in the bedroom?
That'll be fine.
I show her into the master, and soon after, Anna wanders in and gives me a disapproving look. I choose to ignore it and close the door, leaving her with Dr. Green. She can be as annoyed as she likes, but she stopped taking her pills. And she knows I hate condoms. My phone buzzes. At last.
Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. You called?
What news?
Sawyer has been through the CCTV footage from the garage, and I can confirm it was Leela who vandalized the car.
Shit.
Quite, sir. I've updated Welch on the situation, and the Audi has been removed.
Good.
Have you checked the apartment CCTV?
We're doing that now, but we haven't found anything yet.
We need to know how she got in.
Yes, sir. She's not here now. We've done a thorough check, but I understand that until we're certain that she can't get in again, you should stay away. I'm having all the locks changed, even on the fire escape.
The fire escape. I always forget about that.
It's easily done, sir.
I'm taking Anna to the Grace. We'll stay on board if we need to.
I'd like to do a security check of the Grace before you get there, Taylor says.
Okay, I can't imagine we'll be there before one.
We can collect your luggage from the hotel after that.
Great.
And I've emailed Audi about a replacement vehicle.
Okay. Let me know how that goes.
Will do, sir.
Oh, and Taylor, in the future we only need a one-bedroom suite.
Taylor hesitates.
Very good, sir, he says.
Will that be all for now?
No, one more thing. When Gail returns, can you ask her to move all of Miss Steele's clothes and belongings into my room?
Certainly, sir.
Thanks.
I hang up and sit back down at the dining table to finish the newspaper. I note with displeasure that Anna has hardly touched her breakfast.
Plus ça change, Clay. Plus ça change.
Half an hour later, Anna and Dr. Green emerge from the bedroom. Anna looks subdued. We exchange goodbyes with the doctor, and I close the suite door behind her.
Everything okay?
I ask Anna as she stands, looking sullen, in the hallway. She nods but won't look at me.
Anastasia, what is it? What did Dr. Green say?
She shakes her head.
You're good to go in 7 days.
7 days?
Yes.
Anna, what's wrong?
It's nothing to worry about. Please, Christian, just leave it.
Normally, I have no idea what she's thinking, but something is troubling her, and because it's troubling her, it's troubling me. Maybe Dr. Green warned her away from me. I tilt her chin back so we're eye to eye.
Tell me, I persist.
There's nothing to tell. I'd like to get dressed.
She jerks her chin out of my hand.
Fuck. What's wrong?
I run my hands through my hair in an effort to remain calm. Perhaps it's the Leela scare. Or maybe the doctor gave her some bad news. She gives nothing away. Let's shower, I suggest eventually. She agrees, but is hardly enthusiastic.
Come.
I take her hand and move into the bathroom with a reluctant Anna trailing behind me. I turn on the shower and strip out of my clothes while she stands in the middle of the bathroom, sulking.
Anna, what the hell is wrong?
I don't know what's upset you or if you're just bad-tempered through lack of sleep, I say quietly as I unfasten her robe. But I want you to tell me. My imagination is running away with me and I don't like it. She rolls her eyes, but before I can rebuke her, she says,
Dr. Green scolded me about missing the pill. She said I could be pregnant.
What?
Pregnant? And I'm free-falling.
Fuck.
But I'm not, she says. She did a test. It was a shock, that's all. I can't believe I was that stupid.
Oh, thank God.
You're sure you're not?
Yes.
I exhale. Good.
Yes, I can see that news like that would be very upsetting. I was more worried about your reaction.
My reaction? Well, naturally I'm relieved. It would be the height of carelessness and bad manners to knock you up.
Then maybe we should abstain.
She snaps.
What the hell?
You are in a bad temper this morning.
It was just a shock, that's all,
she says, sullen again. I haul her into my embrace. She's tense and stiff with indignation. I kiss her hair and hold her.
Anna, I'm not used to this,
I whisper. My natural inclination is to beat it out of you, but I seriously doubt you want that. She could cry it out if I did. In my experience, women feel better after a good cry.
No, I don't,
she responds.
This helps.
And she puts her arms around me and hugs me tighter, her warm cheek against my chest. I rest my chin on the top of her head. We stand like this for an age, and slowly she relaxes in my arms. Come, let's shower. I strip her out of her robe, and she follows me into the hot water. It's welcome. I felt grimy all morning. I shampoo my hair and hand the bottle to Anna. She looks happier now, and I'm glad the shower head is big enough for both of us. She surrenders herself to the water, tipping up her lovely face, and begins to wash her hair. I take the body wash, lather up my hands, then begin washing Anna. Her earlier bad mood has rattled me. I feel responsible. She's tired, and she had a trying evening. As she rinses her hair, I massage and wash her shoulders, arms, underarms, back, and her beautiful breasts. Turning her around, I continue with her stomach and belly between her legs and her ass. She makes a noise of approval deep in her throat. My smile is broad.
That's better.
I turn her to face me. Here. I give her the body wash. I want you to wash off the remains of the lipstick. Her eyes flicker open and her expression is serious and earnest. Don't stray far from the line, please, I add.
Okay.
She squeezes soap onto her palm and rubs her hands together to make a frothy lather. Placing her hands on my shoulders, she begins to wash away the line with a gentle circular motion. I close my eyes and take a deep breath.
Can I do this?
My breathing shallows and panic wells in my throat. She continues down my side, her nimble fingers tenderly administering to me. But it's unbearable. Like tiny razor blades on my skin. Every muscle in my body is tense. I stand like a hollow bronze, counting the seconds until she's finished. It's taking an eternity. My teeth are clenched. Suddenly her hands are no longer on my body, and that alarms me more. I open my eyes and she's soaping her hands again. She glances up at me and I see my pain reflected in her eyes and on her sweet, anxious face. And I know it's not pity, but compassion. My agony is her agony.
Oh, Anna. Ready?
She asks, her voice hoarse.
Yes,
I whisper, determined not to let the fear win, and I close my eyes. She touches my side and I freeze as fear fills my gut, my chest, and my throat, leaving nothing but the darkness. It's a gaping, aching void that consumes me, all of me. Anna sniffles and I open my eyes. She's crying, her tears lost in the cascade of hot water, her nose pink. Her compassion is spilling down her face, her compassion and her anger as she washes away my sins.
No, don't cry, Anna. I'm just a fucked up man. Her lip trembles.
No, please don't cry. I fold her into my arms and hold her.
Please don't cry for me.
She starts sobbing, really sobbing, and I cradle her head in my hands and lean down to kiss her.
Don't cry, Anna, please,
I whisper against her mouth.
It was long ago. I am aching for you to touch me, but I just can't bear it. It's too much. Please, please don't cry.
I want to touch you too.
She stutters between sobs.
More than you'll ever know, to see you like this. so hurt and afraid, Christian, it wounds me deeply. I love you so much.
I run my thumb across her bottom lip. I know, I know. And she squints at me with a look of dismay because she knows my words have no conviction.
You're very easy to love. Don't you see that?
She says, as the water falls around us.
No, baby, I don't.
You are, and I do,
she stresses.
And so does your family, so do Elena and Leela. They have a strange way of showing it, but they do. You are worthy.
Stop. I can't bear it. I put my finger over her lips and shake my head. I can't hear this. I'm nothing, Anastasia. I'm a lost boy standing before you, unloved, abandoned by the one person who was supposed to protect me because I'm a monster. That's me, Anna. That's all I am. I'm a husk of a man. I don't have a heart.
Yes, you do,
she cries passionately.
And I want it, all of it. You're a good man, Christian, a really good man. Don't ever doubt that. Look at what you've done, what you've achieved.
She continues to sob.
Look what you've done for me, what you've turned your back on for me. I know how you feel about me.
Her blue, blue eyes, filled with love, filled with compassion, leave me as raw and exposed as they did the first time I met her. She sees me. She thinks she knows me.
You love me,
she says. Every ounce of oxygen evaporates from my lungs. Time suspends, and all I can hear is my own blood thrumming in my ears and the splash of the water as it washes the darkness away. Answer her, Gray. Tell her the truth. Yes, I whisper. I do. It's a deep, dark confession wrenched from my soul, and yet as I say the words out loud, it all becomes clear. Of course I love her. Of course she knows. I've loved her since I met her, since I watched her sleep, since she gave herself to me, and only me. I'm addicted. I can't get enough. That's why I tolerate her attitude. I'm in love. This is what it feels like. Her reaction is instant. Her smile is dazzling, lighting up her beautiful face. She's breathtaking. She clasps my head, bringing my mouth to hers, and kisses me, pouring all her love and sweetness into me. It's humbling. It's overwhelming. It's hot. And my body responds, the only way it knows how. Groaning against her lips, I encircle her with my arms. Oh, Anna, I want you, but not here.
Yes,
she says feverishly against my mouth. I switch off the water and lead her out of the shower. I wrap her in her bathrobe and secure a towel around my waist. Taking a smaller one, I begin to dry her hair. This is what I love, taking care of her. And what's more, for a change, she's letting me. She stands patiently while I squeeze the water from her hair and rub her head. When I look up, she's watching me in the mirror above the sink. Our eyes meet, and I'm lost in her loving look.
Can I reciprocate?
She asks. What does she have in mind? I nod, and Anna reaches for another towel. Standing on tiptoe, she wraps it around my head and starts to rub. I lower my head, giving her easier access. This feels good. She uses her nails, rubbing hard. Oh, man. I grin like a fool, feeling cherished. When I raise my head to look at her, she's peeking at me through the towel, and she grins, too. It's a long time since anyone did this to me. A very long time, I tell her. In fact, I don't think anyone's ever dried my hair.
Surely Grace did? Dried your hair when you were young?
I shake my head. No. She respected my boundaries from day one, even though it was painful for her. I was very self-sufficient as a child. Anna stills for a moment, and I wonder what she's thinking.
Well, I'm honored, she says.
That you are, Miss Steele. Or maybe it is I who am honored.
That goes without saying, Mr. Gray.
She tosses the damp towel onto the vanity unit in front of us and reaches for a new one. As she stands behind me, our eyes meet once more in the large mirror.
Can I try something?
She asks. We're doing this your way, baby. I nod, giving her permission, and she runs the towel down my left arm, removing all the drops of water that cling to my skin. She looks up, watching me intently, and leans forward and kisses my biceps. My breathing stalls. She dries my other arm and leaves a trail of feather-like kisses over my right biceps, dodging behind me so I can no longer see what she's doing. She wipes my back, respecting the lipstick lines. Hold back, I offer, feeling brave, with the towel. I take a deep breath and shut my eyes. Anna does as she's told and briskly dries my back. When she finishes, she gives me a swift kiss on my shoulder. I exhale. That wasn't so bad. She puts her arms around me and dries my belly.
Hold this, she says, and hands me a face towel. Remember in Georgia? You made me touch myself using your hands, she explains.
She wraps her arms around me and stares at me in the mirror. With the towel draped over her head, she looks like a biblical character. The virgin. She's soft enough and sweet enough, but a virgin no more. Grasping my hand that holds the face towel, she guides it across my chest, drying a spot. As soon as the towel touches me, I freeze. My mind empties and I will my body to endure this touch. I stand tense before her, unmoving. We're doing this her way. I start to pant with a strange mixture of fear, love, and fascination, and my eyes follow her fingers as she gently guides my hand and wipes my chest dry.
I think you're dry now,
she says, and drops her hand. In the mirror's reflection, we fix our eyes on each other. I want her. I need her. I tell her.
I need you too,
she says, her eyes darkening. Let me love you.
Yes,
she replies, and I scoop her up in my arms, my lips on hers, and carry her into the bedroom. I lay her down on the bed, and with infinite care and tenderness, I show her how much I honor her, cherish her, and treasure her. And love her. I am a new being, a new Christian Gray. I am in love with Anastasia Steele, and what's more, she loves me. Of course, the girl needs to have her head examined, but right now I'm grateful, spent, and happy. I lie beside her, imagining a world of possibility. Anna's skin is soft and warm. I cannot stop touching her while we gaze at each other in the calm after the storm.
So you can be gentle.
Her eyes are alight with amusement.
Only with you.
So it would seem, Miss Steele. She grins, showing perfect white teeth.
You weren't particularly the first time we, did this.
No. I take a strand of her hair and wind it around my index finger. When I robbed you of your virtue.
I don't think you robbed me. I think my virtue was offered up pretty freely and willingly. I wanted you, too. And if I remember correctly, I rather enjoyed myself.
Her smile is shy but warm. So did I, if I recall, Miss Steele. We aim to please, and it means you're mine completely.
Yes, I am. I wanted to ask you something.
Go ahead.
Your biological father, do you know who he was?
Her question is completely unexpected. I shake my head. She surprises me again. I never know what's going on in that smart brain of hers. I have no idea. Wasn't the savage who was her pimp, which is good.
How do you know?
Something Carrick said to me. Her look is expectant, urging me on. So hungry for information, Anastasia. I sigh and shake my head. I don't like thinking about this time in my life. It's difficult to separate the memories from the nightmares. But she's persistent. The pimp discovered the crack whore's body and phoned it into the authorities. Took him 4 days to make the discovery, though. He shut the door when he left. Left me with her. Her body.
Mommy is asleep on the floor. She has been asleep for a long time. She doesn't wake up. I call her. I shake her. She doesn't wake up.
I shudder and continue. Police interviewed him later. He denied flat out I had anything to do with him, and Carrick said he looked nothing like me. Thank God.
Do you remember what he looked like?
Anastasia, this isn't a part of my life I revisit very often. Yes, I remember what he looked like. I'll never forget him. Bile rises in my throat. Can we talk about something else?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you.
It's old news, Anna. Not something I want to think about. She looks guilty, and knowing she's gone too far with these questions, changes the subject.
So what's this surprise, then?
Ah, she remembered. Now this I can deal with. Can you face going out for some fresh air? I want to show you something.
Of course.
Great. I swat her behind. Get dressed. Jeans will be good. I hope Taylor's packed some for you. I leap out of bed, excited to take Anna sailing, and she watches me pull on my underwear. Up, I nag, and she grins.
Just admiring the view, she says.
Dry your hair, I tell her.
Domineering as ever,
she observes, and I bend down to kiss her. That's never going to change, baby. I don't want you sick. She rolls her eyes. My palms still twitch, you know, Miss Steele.
I am glad to hear it, Mr. Gray. I was beginning to think you were losing your edge.
Oh, mixed signals from Miss Steele. Don't tempt me, Anna. I could easily demonstrate that is not the case, should you so wish. I grab a sweater from my bag, fetch my phone, and pack the rest of my belongings. Once I'm done, I find Anna dressed and drying her hair. Pack your things. If it's safe, we'll go home tonight. If not, we can stay again. Anna and I step into the elevator. An elderly couple moves aside for us. Anna looks up at me and smirks. I squeeze her hand and grin, remembering that kiss. Oh, fuck the paperwork.
I'll never let you forget that.
She says, so only I can hear.
Our first kiss.
I'm tempted to do a repeat performance and scandalize the elderly couple, but I settle for a discreet peck on her cheek that makes her giggle. We check out at reception and walk hand in hand through the foyer to the valet.
Where are we going exactly?
Anna asks as we wait for my car. I tap the side of my nose and wink, trying to hide my excitement. Her face lights up with a huge smile, matching mine. Leaning down, I kiss her.
Do you have any idea how happy you make me feel? Yes, I know exactly, because you do the same for me.
The valet appears with my R8. Great car, sir, he says, as he gives me my keys. I tip him, and he opens Anna's door. As I turn onto 4th Avenue, the sun is shining, my girl is beside me, and there's good music playing on my car stereo. I overtake an Audi A3 and suddenly remember Anna's wrecked car. I realize I've not thought about Leela and her crazy behavior for the last few hours. Anna's a good distraction. She's more than a distraction, Gray. Perhaps I should buy her something else. Yes, something different. Not an Audi. A Volvo. No, my dad has one. A BMW. No, my mom has one. I need to make a detour. It shouldn't take long, I inform her.
Sure.
We pull into the Saab dealership. Anna looks perplexed. We need to get you a new car, I say.
Not an Audi?
No, I'm not getting you the car I've bought all my subs. I thought you might like something else.
A Saab?
She's amused. Yeah, a 9-3. Come.
What is it with you and foreign cars?
The Germans and the Swedes make the safest cars in the world, Anastasia.
I thought you'd already ordered me another Audi A3.
I can cancel that. Come. I climb out of the car, walk to her side, and open the door. I owe you a graduation present.
Christian, you really don't have to do this.
I make it clear to her that I do, and we stroll into the car showroom where a salesman greets us with a well-rehearsed smile.
My name's Troy Turniansky. Are you after a Saab, sir? Pre-owned?
He rubs his hands, sensing a sale. No, I inform him.
Did you have a model in mind, sir?
932.0T, sport sedan. Anna shoots a questioning look at me. Yeah, I've been meaning to test drive one of these.
An excellent choice, sir.
What color, Anastasia? I ask.
Black?
She says with a shrug.
You really don't need to do this.
Black's not easily seen at night.
You have a black car.
This is not about me. I give her a pointed look.
Canary yellow, then,
she says, and flips her hair over her shoulder, irritated, I think. I scowl at her.
What color do you want me to have?
She crosses her arms. Silver or white?
Silver, then,
she says, but reiterates that she'd be fine with the Audi. Now, sensing the loss of a sale, Turniansky pipes up.
Perhaps you'd like the convertible, ma'am.
Anna lights up, and Turniansky claps his hands. Convertible? I ask, raising a brow, and her cheeks redden with embarrassment. Miss Steele would like a convertible, and I'm beyond pleased that I found something she wants.
What are the safety stats on the convertible?
I ask the salesman, and he's prepared, reeling off a brochure's worth of stats and other information. I glance at Anna, and she's all smiles and teeth. Turniansky hurries to his desk to consult his computer on the availability of a brand new convertible 9-3. Whatever you're high on, I'd like some, Miss Steele. I pull her close.
I'm high on you, Mr. Gray.
Really? Well, you certainly look intoxicated. I kiss her. And thank you for accepting the car. That was easier than last time.
Well, it's not an Audi A3.
That's not the car for you.
I liked it.
Sir, the 9-3, I've located one at our Beverly Hills dealership. We can have it here for you in a couple of days.
Turniansky is bursting at the seams with his achievement. Top of the range? I ask.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. I hand him my credit card.
If you'll come this way, Mr.
Turniansky glances at the name on the card.
Gray.
I follow him to his desk.
Can you get it here tomorrow?
I can try, Mr. Gray. He nods, and we begin to fill out the paperwork.
Thank you,
Anna says as we set off. You're most welcome, Anastasia. The soulful, sad voice of Eva Cassidy fills the R8 when I turn on the engine.
Who's this?
Anna asks, and I tell her.
She has a lovely voice.
She does. She did.
Oh.
She died young. Too young.
Oh.
Anna gives me a wistful look. I remember that she didn't finish her breakfast earlier, and I ask her if she's hungry. I'm keeping track, Anna.
Yes.
Lunch first, then. I speed along Elliott Avenue, heading to Elliott Bay Marina. Flynn was right. I like trying things her way. I look at Anna, who's lost in the music, staring out at the passing scenery. I feel content and excited for what I have planned this afternoon. The car lot is crowded at the marina, but I find a space. Willie, here, I'll open your door, I say, as Anna makes a move to get out of the car. Together we walk toward the waterfront, arms around each other.
So many boats, she says.
And one of them is mine. We stand on the promenade and watch the sailboats out in the sound. Anna tugs her jacket around herself. Cold? I tuck her under my arm, closer to my side.
No, just admiring the view.
I could stare at it all day. Come, this way. We head into SP's, the waterfront restaurant and bar, for lunch. Inside, I search for Dante, Claude Bastille's brother.
Mr. Gray.
He sees me before I see him.
What can I get you this afternoon?
Dante, good afternoon.
I usher Anna onto one of the stools at the bar. This lovely lady is Anastasia Steele.
Welcome to SP's place.
Dante grins at Anna, his dark eyes intrigued.
What would you like to drink, Anastasia?
Please call me Anna,
she says, then eyeing me adds,
and I'll have whatever Christian's drinking.
Anna is deferring to me, like she did at the ball. I like it. I'm going to have a beer. This is the only bar in Seattle where you can get Adnam's Explorer.
A beer?
Yes, two Explorers, please, Dante. Dante nods and sets up the drinks on the bar, and I tell Anna that the seafood chowder that's served here is delicious. Dante writes down our food order and gives me a wink. Yes, I'm here with a woman I'm not related to. It's a first, I know. I turn my attention to Anna.
How did you get started in business?
She asks, and takes a sip of her beer. I give her the executive summary. With Elena's money and some shrewd but risky investments, I was able to build a capital fund. The first company I acquired was about to go under. It had been developing power units for cell phones using graphene technology, but the R&D had exhausted the company's capital. The patents they held were worth exploiting, and I kept their key talent, Fred and Barney, who are now my two chief engineers. I tell Anna about our work on solar and wind-up technology for the home market and the developing world, and our innovative research to develop battery storage. All critical initiatives, given the depletion of fossil fuels. You still with me? I ask when our chowder arrives. I love that she's interested in what I do. Even my parents struggle not to glaze over when I tell them about my work.
I'm fascinated, she says. Everything about you fascinates me, Christian.
Her words are encouraging, so I continue my story of how I bought and sold more companies, keeping those that shared my ethos, breaking up and selling the others.
Mergers and acquisitions,
she muses. The very same. I moved into shipping 2 years ago, and from there into improving food production. Our test sites